Today on More to Life, fried, frazzled, and fading fast. Feeling stressed? We want to help you get to a healthier place. Give us a call. The number, 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everybody. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the show is titled Fried, Frazzled, and Fading Fast. We're talking about stress, in case you couldn't figure it out. And I know none of you are stressed about anything. I know that you are at perfect peace with your spouse, with your kids, with your coworkers, with your extended family. I know you don't have any problems at all. But, you know, just in case somebody out there just happened to tune in who has some stress, we're here for you. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Well, in all honesty, maybe you're not feeling stressed, but people in your life are. And you're thinking, I know God wants me to give them some of his peace, but I just don't know how to break through. I don't know how to help them with their stress.
Or their stress is stressing you out.
There can be that.
That's possible. Well, whatever it is, tell us, what is stressing you out these days? Is worry about something or someone keeping you awake? Are you frustrated by a particular problem you're not sure how to handle? Dealing with a difficult person? I know you don't have any of those people in your life. Maybe you're disturbed about a disagreement you're having with someone you care about. Look, every day we face plenty of problems. And if you're feeling stressed out about a personal or relationship problem you're trying to handle, let us help you find the grace-filled solutions you're looking for and reclaim your peace. Again, the number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. If you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, and by all means, you ought to check that out, especially if you miss a show. Don't ever miss a show. You can tune into the podcast and get your questions in via email. That address is questions@more2liferadio.com. questions@more2liferadio.com.
Now, if you're saying, I can't put my finger on why I'm so stressed out, it's just the state of my life, or the state of the world, we can help you figure out solutions to that kind of stress as well. So in other words, you are welcome here no matter what seems to be troubling your spirit, your mind, your heart, your soul today. Let us help you find effective answers with God's grace. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Don't handle all those stressful things all by yourself. Let us help you find those grace-filled solutions that will enable you to solve the problems and reclaim your peace. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. Now, if you're wondering what that is, and even more, why you should care about it, St. John Paul, when he was Pope, gave a series of reflections on how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design of creation, especially his design of our bodies.
Psychology tells us that, broadly speaking, stress is just the body's response to a change or a challenge. Some changes and challenges are good, like a wedding or a promotion or a new baby. Some are bad, like a breakup or a job loss or an illness. Likewise, our responses to a particular change or challenge can be good or bad. Added together, the nature of the change and the way we respond to it determines how much stress we feel in a given situation. The Theology of the Body gives us insights into the most effective ways we can respond to the challenges so that we can minimize the effect that stress has on us. Specifically, St. John Paul reminded us that in any moment, we can either adopt a reactive or a receptive posture to all the things that life throws at us.
Now, regular listeners, this is not a huge surprise to you, but you know, this idea of the difference between reacting and being receptive is a really important key to living out the Theology of the Body's plan for leading a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships. Because if we react to changes or challenges, we tend to be more impulsive, less aware of God's presence, less able to cooperate with the grace that he's giving us in the moment. Our reactions cause us to choose short-term relief over longer-term opportunities to experience grace and growth. By contrast, when we adopt a more receptive posture to the changes and challenges we face, we're prayerful and thoughtful about the best response we can make. We make a point of bringing the situation to God, seeking his counsel, opening our hearts to his grace, reflecting on how we can respond to that change or challenge in a way that will be pleasing to him, that will work for the ultimate good of everybody involved, and enable us to use that situation as an opportunity to become the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled person he sees, that God sees when he looks at us. You know, the more we can adopt that receptive posture in the face of the changes and challenges we encounter, the less stressed we'll be, even in hard times.
And I think it's so important to remember that, you know, after, you know, we're going through the Easter season here still, and after Jesus rose from the dead, he came to his disciples who were really, really stressed. And he said, "Peace be to you." He breathed his peace upon them. But they had to be able to receive that. And we need to be able to receive it, but not just receive it and stay stagnant in one frozen place. Although, wouldn't we all love to do that? I mean, you know, you look at Peter saying, you know, "I want to just stay here on this mountaintop with you and Elijah. Let's just build booths. Let's just stay here and never go back to town." We need to move on in our lives and be effective in our lives. What do we do with that receptivity? If we've received some of the grace of God, how do we know what our marching orders are and make them happen, even in the circumstances and with the people we're dealing with? And that's what we are going to help you with today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
I want you to do a little exercise for me here. I want you to close your eyes. Not if you're driving. Don't close your eyes if you're driving. But otherwise, just close your eyes for a second. If you're driving, just think for a second about what the answer to this question. What's stressing you out, or who is stressing you out?
Mm.
That thought that came to mind, that situation that sprang into your head, that person whose picture you saw, that's who we're talking about today. Let us help you deal with those situations and those people gracefully. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. The show is titled Fried, Frazzled, and Fading Fast, as we talk about dealing with all the people and situations that stress us out. Let us help you come to a healthier, grace-filled place. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, there are so many days where we feel fried, frazzled, and fading. And we bring those people and situations to you, those people that are difficult to deal with, who complicate our lives, those situations that we're stressed out about that keep us awake at night or cause us to worry throughout the day. We bring it all to you. And of course, we ask that if it's possible to deliver us from those things, if it's in your will, then please take them from us. But if you want us to deal with them, if you want us to set those things and relationships right, then we ask you to teach us, step by step, how to respond to those difficult situations and deal with those difficult people gracefully, in ways that will glorify you in ways that will invite everybody involved to be their best selves, in ways that will allow those situations to grow into the whole, healed, godly, and grace-filled people you created us to be. We praise you and we thank you for your gift of grace, and we ask that you would give us that grace that would allow us to persevere in the face of those problems so that through your grace we can be more than overcomers. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Fried, Frazzled, and Fading Fast. We're talking about stress in general. It doesn't have to be big things. It could just be those little daily stressors. But whatever it is, if there is a person who's stressing you out, or a situation that... What's stressing me out is not being able to get the words out of my mouth. Or a situation that is causing you stress, give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Of course, again, if you are listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can still send your questions in via email. And that address is questions@moretolife.com. With that, who's on deck, Lisa?
We're talking with Michael, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Wisconsin.
Hi there, Michael. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you today?
Hi, good morning. I was just calling in because I'm currently, myself and my son are kind of suffering, and, you know, I just left daily mass and turned you on, and I was thinking of St. Joseph and what he would do in this situation, but you know, I haven't seen my son in a year.
Gosh, that's hard.
Because of a custody situation and the courts getting involved, and his mother, saying I was, over religious, claiming I was doing spiritual abuse, all those types of things. And now he's seeing a counselor that I'm not able to be involved in at this point. It's all being worked
out.
How
old is your son?
At the end of the tunnel. He's 10.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and
go on.
Yeah, I was married to his mother, and then shortly after we were married, there was a lot of issues and things that kind of were unveiled to me in a sense. And then we separated in 2013, physically separated. I had to file for a legal separation. Counseled under spiritual director and my own pastor in 2017 to protect myself and stuff, but where there's no annulment in the church. So we're still married in the eyes of church, but she's not practicing any of that sort of thing. And so I go to daily mass and all that's being used against me and, in the family court that I'm over religious, I'm this, I'm that,
Michael, so how can we help you out, though? Obviously, it's a very painful situation, and I'm so sorry that you haven't. I mean, it's just heartbreaking to not be able to see your son. But what can we do to help you here today?
I guess it's just, it's dealing with, and I see it others. It's just how best for men in particular, or anybody for that matter, to deal with. This prejudice or, against you, somebody that practices their faith or, weather that storm.
Sure.
It's a persecution in my eyes and other people looking at it from what's noise and what's going on.
Since you brought it up, when she accuses you of spiritual abuse, can you give me a sense of what kinds of things she's referring to?
Yeah, absolutely. So, because we're separated, there's this, difficulty in parenting my son, it's just inherent to the situation, but she makes it a little bit more difficult. So like when I have a conversation with my son, I'll say, look, it's a commandment, and he goes to Catholic school, or he did. He's since been expelled from there a few months ago because of all this. But anyway, saying to him, like, if you don't listen to your parents, your mother or myself, listening to us comes with blessings, and he knows this. And I said, but if you don't listen to us when we ask you to get ready for baseball or we ask you to do this, and, God can take over and God could, do anything. And his mom does the same thing. Like, he could, you could fall off a bike or, whatever, you know.
Okay, so what you're saying to me is that I mean, look, Michael, let me say, you have a good heart, your intentions are good, and it breaks my heart that you've not been able to see your son in so long. What you just described to me, though, okay, is a well-intentioned but really inappropriate way of using the faith, because essentially you're threatening your son that God's going to get him if he doesn't listen to you or your wife. Now, I understand that's not your intention, but that is how it comes across. And if that's just one small example, I want you to imagine what that... I imagine you do know how that feels, living, because I think that that's probably your relationship with your Heavenly Father as well, that you feel like you have to be rigidly adherent to all the rules and stuff, or God's going to get you. I mean, because you wouldn't convey that to your son if you didn't feel that yourself. And yeah, that is kind of spiritually abusive, because God doesn't get us, right? God loves us.
He's not walking around waiting for us to not listen or make a mistake so he can zap us with a lightning bolt. That's the myth of Zeus, not the God who died on the cross and gave us his body, blood, soul, and divinity.
Moreover, what it's saying, Michael, is that, you know, as you know, I don't know as a father how to compassionately get my son to listen to me and obey me and follow through on things. So I'm gonna kick my responsibility over to this image of an angry God who's gonna get my son for not listening to me. So yeah, in a subtle way, but in a very serious way, it is very abusive. And so, again, I know that's not your intention, and I know you've got a good heart, and you're a devout man, and you're trying your best to live a faithful life. But in spite of all of that, sometimes our presentation of that faith, our attempts to live that faith in our relationships, becomes seriously twisted in some ways because of our own upbringing, because of our own issues. I really want to strongly encourage you, dad to dad here, to get some real help, to work on yourself, to heal your spiritual relationship with God, your Heavenly Father, and understand that you are a beloved son, and know and learn how to communicate that love more effectively to your son especially, but to everybody that you encounter. Because it's not, we don't have a relationship with a God who's going to get us. We have a relationship with a God who wants to save us from all the things that are out to get us. And Michael, it's a couple of resources I want to turn you on to, okay? I'd love for you to pick up a copy of my book, The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. Because what it talks about is how to use each of the Beatitudes as a blueprint for being fathers after our Heavenly Father's own heart. And each chapter is divided up into 3 sections. The first section is, what does it mean, what does this Beatitude mean to our relationship with our Heavenly Father? And what does it mean to be a son of the Father? Secondly, what is this beatitude? How does this beatitude order our relationship with our wife? And even though you're not legally married to her anymore, you're going through that, you will still be in a relationship with her for the rest of your life because of your son. So how to relate to her. And then thirdly, we look at the beatitude and how it orders our relationship with our children. So the Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, looks at how men, Catholic men, can become fathers after the Heavenly Father's own heart. I really encourage you to check that out. I also want to give you the resource of Catholic Home. That's Households on Mission. It's an app that we created for Catholic families of all kinds. You don't have to be a perfect family to use Catholic Home. You just have to be a family that wants to experience God's love more perfectly. And that's you can download Catholic HOM, stands for Households on Mission. Not just get resources, but really the support, the daily support that parents need to build loving, caring, connected, faithful Catholic households and heal their relationship with their children.
In fact, we have several dads who are in the same situation that you are, who are separated from their children and their spouses, either by separation or divorce, who really find a great deal of support on how to walk this path faithfully and get closer to their children and perhaps even bring healing to the relationship with the women in their lives.
Catholic Home, that's HOM, doesn't offer counseling on the app, but it does offer coaching and many resources to help support parents in really building more loving domestic churches. Finally, Michael, I would really encourage you to either work with somebody that you're comfortable with locally, or if you're looking for faith-filled answers to the challenges you're facing, I'd encourage you to check out our Catholic telecounseling practice at CatholicCounselors.com, because I think there's a lot of inner healing that needs to happen here in order for you to be able to live and express your faith in healthy ways. And again, sir, please don't hear any condemnation in what I'm saying to you. I understand that you are a devout and godly man. You have the best intentions in the world. You love your son, and you want to give him good things. there's just something about your approach that's undermining your best efforts to do all those things. I really hope that you'll follow through with these suggestions and get the help that you need so that we can walk with you in restoring your relationship with your son, because he needs you. He needs his dad. 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Fried, Frazzled, and Fading Fast. We're talking about dealing with stress. And if there is a person that's stressing you out or a situation that's stressing you out, we want to help you find the grace-filled solutions and reclaim your peace. The number is 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Anastasia Northrup, the founder of the National Catholic Singles Conference, who will be sharing some insights from the theology of the body on dealing with stress when we come back in a minute.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I come from the other side of the tracks, see? My uncle used to have slot machines. Put one nickel in and it emptied. And I brought him home in a bag, and my mother looked at me. Where did you get all that money? I said, I won them. You didn't win them. He fixed the machine. I didn't care if he fixed the machine or not, you know?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian prayer series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Thank you so much for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today our show is titled Fried, Frazzled, and Fading Fast, as we talk about the people and situations that are stressing us out. So give us a call at 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Anastasia Northrup. She is the founder of the National Catholic Singles Conference. She's an expert on the theology of the body. And Anastasia, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ray. Good to be here.
So, you know, you were sharing over the break one of the most popular, well-known sayings from St. John Paul's Theology of the Body is the idea that the body makes visible that which is invisible. How can that insight help us learn to deal with stress more effectively?
Well, I think for me, I used to think stress was just something invisible, you know, like something that's in your mind and in your heart and how you deal with things, which it's obviously part of it. But the fact that the body makes visible the invisible, we can see this in so many of the, you know, medical reports in recent years, just how stress can affect so many things like anxiety, depression, digestion, you know, headaches, muscle tension, pain, heart issues, sleep problems, like all of these things. And so I think sometimes, well, it might be easy to be thinking, oh, okay, well, I would go to the doctor if I, you know, had a concrete heart issue, or if I, you know, have cancer, or if I have some, you know, major thing. But the stress part, you know, well, I'm just stressed. That's okay. You know, I think we have to look at that and say, no, actually, your stress can be affecting all of these things. And so it's really important to address it. And I mean, in my own life, I've dealt with exhaustion and adrenal issues, you know, in the past. And yeah, the doctor's like, well, actually, it's from stress. So you're like, okay,
no, it is amazing, isn't it? And I think that because we're living in a time, the very first time, we can actually scan the body and see in real time when someone is stressed, what is it doing to their brain? What is it doing to their entire endocrine system? How is their body reacting? We're really seeing what the church has been teaching us for so, so long, which is we really do embody what we're going through in many, many ways. So we really are called to listen to what God's telling us when we're reacting to our stress, aren't we?
Well, exactly. And then take the steps to practice the presence of God, be in God's presence, be in that safe place, and just being able to trust him and be at peace, like you were talking about, be in that receptive mode instead of reacting, so that we can take care of our bodies and we can have that interior peace. And then the interior peace, even if it's in the midst of a huge storm around us, that can make us healthier, and both spiritually and physically, and better able to respond to the people that are in our lives.
So I think that the takeaway for me in this is that, God is speaking to us through our bodies, that when we're experiencing those bodily breakdowns, big or small, that yes, of course, we should seek medical attention for those things. But we also should reflect, what is this saying about my life and my relationships?
Exactly.
And how is God challenging me through these bodily sensations and experiences to work on those things and to bring his grace into those situations so that I can lead a healthier and more balanced life. Anastasia, thank you so much for being with us today. It's always a pleasure talking with you. I encourage people to learn more about your ministry by going to nationalcatholicsingles.com to learn more about the National Catholic Singles Conference coming up this August 16th and 18th. And also just more about great resources for Catholic singles, nationalcatholicsingles.com. We'll be back with your calls on More to Life, talking about stress today. Give us a holler, 877-573-7825.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
So many studies over the past 60 years show a connection between abortion and increased risk of breast cancer, depression, alcohol addiction, drug addiction, a breakdown in relationships. Women, when they do eventually decide to have children after they've had an abortion, there's a bonding issue with the children. And yet many of those studies are pushed aside, and the studies that are embraced are the studies that are done by the people with so much to gain, claiming that all these pregnancies through rape occurred all because Roe v. Wade was overturned. And yet if you look at the roots of that study, every single author involved was connected to the abortion industry. And that's not journalism, that's propaganda, that's advocacy.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Hey men, did you know that you're called to lead couple prayer in your marriage? You might have the most amazing individual prayer life, but how is it possible to have a godly marriage if you and your wife don't submit yourselves to God in prayer on a daily basis? If you go off and pray by yourself and then tell your wife what you heard, how is that not setting yourself up as some kind of anointed oracle in your home? Yes, it's a good first step, but it's only the first step. Bring your bride to pray with you and ask God to teach you both how to love each other the way He wants you to love each other. Let her see you humbling yourself before God, and she'll give you her heart in ways you never dreamed possible. To learn more, check out my book, The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, our show is titled Fried, Frazzled, and Fading Fast. So if you're looking for some faith-filled answers to those stressful people and situations you're having to contend with, give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. You can also listen to the More to Life podcast at any time if you miss it, or tell your friends about the More to Life podcast as well. And while you're telling them about that, make sure you mention Beyond Damascus with Dan Demite and Aaron Richards. It plays Saturday night, or airs Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. It's for young Catholic adults sharing their stories of life within the Catholic Church and the blessings that faith brings. So if you know a young Catholic adult and you'd like to share the faith with them, tell them about Beyond Damascus with Dan Demite and Aaron Richards, airing Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. With that, we're back to taking your calls about all the people and situations stressing you out on our show today, titled Fried, Frazzled, and Fading Fast. Who's up, Lisa?
Let's talk to Kathleen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio on The Rock.
Hey, Kathleen. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Thank you. Well, I've been married for about eight and a half years now, and before we got married, it just seemed like that both of us were very happy and so forth in the Lord, you know, and it just seems like after we got married, he somehow has gotten depressed, and so, you know, it makes it very hard on me to maintain happiness and everything, and I just need help. How do I not let his negativity affect me?
Now, Kathleen, you said somehow he's gotten depressed. Has he been diagnosed as depressed? Is he being treated for depression? Is this just a pattern you're seeing? Give us an example of what's going on and if he's been being treated at all for what you see.
So, no, he's not being treated, and it's basically, I see it, but he also claims it. He actually acknowledges that he is suffering from depression. He's not one that believes in taking medicine and so forth. So it's not something that he's open-minded to do. We are financially challenged, so he doesn't want to spend a lot of time going to counseling and so forth. I don't know.
Kathleen, can you give me an example? Sorry to interrupt,
Just
in the interest of time, I want to get a give me an example of a situation that you would say, you know, he's being, you know, Mr. Negative. What's something that's happened recently that he's done, and then I want to know how you've responded to it. Like, what do you try to do?
Oh my goodness. Okay, so I mean, I could just ask, "How are you?" And out comes a negative response of some sort, or, well, I'm here, or, well, I'm working, you know, so it can be evasive, such as just saying what he's doing rather than how he's doing and so forth. And if I try to say something in the way of positive, he doesn't seem to receive it. It seems to be rebuttaled. It's hard. Okay. There's so many every day, it's hard for me to actually pick out exact words.
No, that's fine. That gives me a sense of kind of what's happening, broadly speaking, anyway. So, I'm sorry. It's very hard, you know, to be around somebody who is in that place. You know, in fact,
so draining.
You know, our brain actually has something called mirror neurons. And mirror neurons allow us to empathize with other people because they, you know, for example, if we're together, right, and I walk into the coffee table and I, you know, then you wince, right? Because your mirror neurons allowed you to feel a little bit of what I felt when I walked into the table. Well, the same thing's true about emotional pain. You know, when we're around somebody we care about and they're feeling emotional pain, our mirror neurons pick up on it so we can empathize with them. But if we're exposed to too much of it, then we kind of get dragged into it too, and it's really painful. So I understand what you're saying. A couple of things. Let's talk about just how to handle it when it happens in the moment, and then I want to talk about the bigger issue here. When he complains about something or gives you that negative response, I want you to avoid the temptation to try to be a cheerleader and try to say something positive, because that's what you said, how you respond to it.
Most people do, from our own discomfort, but also from the pain that we experience from seeing somebody who's feeling that way in life. We want to make it better for them and also for us.
Right. So we feel like if we can just show them the other side of it, then they'll get it. The problem is when you try to be positive with a person who's stuck in a negative place, what they hear is, oh, Kathleen just doesn't get it. She doesn't understand. And so they end up doubling down on the negativity. In fact, there have been several studies that talk about how positive thinking actually makes depression worse. Because in the front of your head, you're saying all kinds of positive things. And in the back of your head, you're hearing, yeah, right. Okay, so the better answer here is not positivity, it's proactivity. In other words, when he complains about something, then you say, first you empathize. I'm really sorry that you're feeling that way. That's really hard to be in that place. Then you move to proactivity. What would you like to do about it? Tell me what it is that you want to do to try to respond to that. What's one small thing you could do to try to make that a little bit better? Empathize first. Make sure he understands that you get how hard it is or how bad he's feeling about it. But then redirect toward that productivity. What is it that we can do or that you can do to take one small step to either make the situation better or make yourself feel better? Like, and in terms of feeling better, I don't mean, doing unhealthy things. I mean healthy things that would be, whether that's exercise or eating better or praying together about it or, whatever. There's something healthy that you can do to make getting some rest, whatever it is that it can make yourself feel a little bit better so that you can handle the thing. A lot of times when we say, what's one small thing you could do to try to make this thing a little bit better or to take some action steps to work on this thing? People go like, well, I don't know. All right, well, what is one small thing you could do to make yourself feel a little bit better so that if you get a little more rest or you eat that meal or you, get some exercise or you pray with me, then we'll be able to figure out something together, right? Because we are listening to our bodies and what our body needs in order to function at its best so that we can perform better in the thing. So empathize first, then redirect towards solutions and try to problem solve that. The larger question about, the depression thing that you're saying, I understand that, it's hard when you're having financial problems and other stressors like that to want to make the time. It's a blow to our pride to say I might need help or I might need medication or I might need counseling. If your husband had cancer, you wouldn't let him get away with this, right? I mean, if he had cancer, you wouldn't just say, if you don't want to go, I guess I can't make you.
Or even something simpler. Let's say he got a cut in his foot. And he said, I've got a cut in my foot, but I really don't want to go to the doctor because, things are stressful right now in terms of our, financial situation. And then you begin to see that the cut is kind of turning a funny color and he's limping around and he's in pain and you're starting to worry about what you're seeing in that cut. He wouldn't just say, oh, well, he just doesn't feel like going and getting and take care of, because he could lose his leg. He could die of an infection. We have to, as Anastasia Northrup was saying, we have to listen to what our bodies are telling us emotionally as well, because they affect us just as, if not more so, than the physical stuff we go through.
Depression is deadly. Even if you're not concerned immediately of a more serious consequence of it, it's ruining his life and wrecking your relationship.
And can wreck his physical health.
It's a spiritual cancer.
And yours.
It's a spiritual cancer, and it's very serious. And I would ask you to use whatever emotional or relational capital you have to make it an issue for him to get into treatment. Now, I didn't actually encourage you to go together.
Yes.
Because when you're dealing with a loved one who has depression, it's important for us to know how to support them, what we can do and what we shouldn't be doing. And we want to be part of the solution, too. Sometimes when we say to our spouse, you look depressed, you should get some help, what they hear is, you're a project and I want you to get fixed. If we're willing to go and say, let's go through this together. I want to figure out how to help you. I want to support you. I want to figure out, if there's anything I'm doing to contribute to this or that I could do to contribute to you feeling better. Let's work on this together. So I actually want you to make an appointment. Don't ask him. Make the appointment. Find
exactly
somebody that you like, that you'd be willing to work with too. Make the appointment. Tell him you're going with him or without him. And you might say, well, why would I go to counseling if my husband's depressed? It's because by going to counseling, you can start learning ways to both challenge him and support him more effectively than you are right now. And you're working with a good, especially marriage-friendly therapist who does what's called systems theory. You can learn ways to kind of bring him to the table. even if he's resistant at first. So don't make it an option. Make an appointment. Tell him you're going with him or without him, but you really want him to go with you so that you guys could figure out together how to do this. Spend whatever relational or emotional capital that you have to make this happen, though, because it is very serious. Depression is in the top five killers of diseases in the World Health Organization. So please do take this seriously. But as I said, the suggestions for how to handle it in the moment, empathize, redirect toward solutions. But then the larger issue, get the help that you need. And if there's more we can do to support you guys in this with faithful answers, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Psalm 94, verse 19.
When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul.
You know, David is talking about what St. Ignatius called consolations, the consolations are those either thoughts that we think or those feelings that we have or impulses that we experience that nudge us toward God or being the person God wants us to be or responding to the situation that God wants us to respond to it. A consolation comes from the Holy Spirit as opposed to a desolation, which is, the prompting of the enemy. And so God's consolations cheer our soul. We need to tune into those consolations, those thoughts, feelings, impulses that make it easier for us to be the person God wants us to be or do what God is calling us to do in the face of the challenge we're encountering. The more we listen to those consolations, the more our soul can be cheered. 877-573-7825. More to Life is going to come back with more of your questions about those stressful people and stressful situations that are stressing you out. You want to feel a little less stressed, give us a call at 877-573-7825. We'll be back in a minute.
Started drinking beer on Saturday nights, sleeping in on Sunday mornings, missing Mass, and it just became a pattern and continued. Without God, I don't know where I'd be right now. I know the importance of the Eucharist. I know the importance of the sacraments that I didn't know at a young age. I follow God's will because my desire is to get to heaven. Our lives are rich and full by being members of the church.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guerendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton. Some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today's show is titled Fried, Frazzled, and Fading Fast as we talk about the stressful people in a stressful situation that stresses out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Catherine, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Idaho on Salt and Light Radio.
Hi, Catherine. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. Well, I kind of feel like the last caller might be going through something similar. to myself, but I guess my basic question is, what can I do to express my needs to get a response from my husband? He has a hard time expressing or understanding his emotions. And I think that he kind of, I mean, I know he has struggled with depression in the past. So I think he thinks being emotional or vulnerable is trying to make him not manly, like it's not a manly thing, and so he rejects it.
So here's the funny thing. Let me just throw. I just want to offer a quick editorial comment here. Is your husband faithful? Is he a faithful practicing Catholic, or kind of what's his spiritual life like?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay.
So if you say if you believe that having emotions isn't manly, then you're saying Jesus wasn't a man, because Jesus wept and he laughed and he loved
and he had anger
He had all kinds of feelings and he was fully man.
Fear.
So anyone who denies that feelings are somehow manly is denying the manliness of Christ. Anyway, back to your point. So
it's a point to make to your husband.
Okay. Just a little editorial comment there, but I wanted to ask. So give me an example of a time when you try to share your needs with him and he shuts down.
Well, I mean, part of it I think is that I don't know how to share my needs with him, and then I'll give a very brief example. So. Mm-hmm. On this last Sunday, we got into a really big fight over soccer, which it wasn't about soccer. But what had happened was I was feeling like he didn't want to spend time with us because I said, oh, well, you know, next year we could put our kids in soccer. And he goes, oh, there goes all my free time. And so then I was feeling like he was saying, well, I don't want to spend time with you. I just want to spend time by myself. And we got into
when he says free time, you read it as by himself.
Well, and he may have meant that. Is it?
He does mean
that. And is that his tendency?
He's very intellectual. And I'm very, like, he's very much an introvert. I'm very much an extrovert. And so, I want to spend time with him. And I'm pushing and pushing and pushing. And he's, like, pulling away because, and we're doing this dance. And
sure. All right. So, one last question, then I have some things to share with you. In terms of praying together about your marriage, your family life, about these kinds of questions, what do you guys do there, if anything?
Mostly we just pray with our kids, and we'll mention, either one of us will mention, you know, like, Lord, please help us to grow in love every day, or help us to be better spouses. But, I mean, it's not much more than that with the kids every night.
Okay, would you be willing to have and would he be willing to join you in a kind of a regular prayer time about these kinds of issues in your marriage and family life, just you and him?
I think that I'm sure he would, but I think this is part of the problem is I am afraid, and I have been in like all of my relationships, I guess, but like I'm afraid that if I am too needy, then or if I ask too much, people will pull away. And I know that's a problem with me. And so that's why I'm saying,
sure.
I know that I need to work on myself first before I can ask him to do anything. And I know I need to get better.
Well, no, I mean, yes and no. I mean, we need to remember that yes, we do need to not refuse to work on ourselves because we're so busy trying to fix other people. But really this is, you know, this is something that you can grow in together.
I want to say something very clearly here, Catherine, which is, I think that the two of you have both been affected by both your upbringing and some very strangely placed, very not Catholic ideas of men's and women's roles and emotions in both men and women. And what I want you to really walk away with this from is not only some workable things you can start doing, but number one, what Greg said about, you know, every person, including men, experiencing all emotions because Jesus came to show us who we really are as human beings and what we can become. But also that our sacrament of marriage, as with all sacraments, is a sacrament of healing. Sacraments are meant to heal the effects that sin does on us and the world. And so you're actually being called into a much greater intimacy with each other because you're beginning to see, okay, as we go through life and we bump up against each other and our woundedness, We're called to help each other and ourselves heal those things so we can become, and our marriage and family life can become, everything God means it to be.
And as we talk about in our book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, you know, God gave you guys to each other, not just because he has a warped sense of humor, right? But because...
Or to make you suffer, as some people think.
Well, but because by listening to each other's needs and responding to those needs, each of you is going to grow in ways that you wouldn't grow if each other wasn't in your life. Right? You know, in the course of our 35 years of marriage now, Lisa has challenged me to grow in ways that I never would grow if it wasn't for her.
And vice versa.
And I know I've done that to her, too, or with her. And so we're better people because of it. God speaks to us through the needs of our spouse. And so don't ever be afraid of being needy. You communicate those needs in respectful and charitable ways to your spouse, but you have every right to expect that your spouse will respond generously to those needs, because that's really, because God gave you those needs, and he's speaking to you and your husband through those needs. And when you guys respond to each other's needs, the needs that God has placed on your hearts, you grow together in ways that you'd never grow if God hadn't given you to each other.
And that response comes with both of you making room for what the other person needs and coming up with plans for that. When we have a fight about something that it isn't the thing, you know, the soccer thing, we're letting Satan take us off track and get us distracted and create really difficult tension between the two of us, instead of saying, all right, sweetheart, I want us to have the children to have this opportunity. I'd like us to have time as a family to do these things. You're saying you need more peace and quiet and time to gather yourself, because that's how you get your energy back. Let's take a moment and pray about this, and then talk about coming up with a plan so we can do both things and everyone in the family can get their needs met in a way that's healthy for all of us.
And that's why I asked you if you guys would be willing to pray about this stuff together, okay? Because what you described to me is what a lot of couples do. You don't identify and make a plan for meeting your needs until you're upset about something, right? And then you guys end up reacting off of each other because you're upset about slightly different things. And that makes you feel like your thing isn't going to be attended to. But if you were having a regular prayer time as a couple, right, where you sat down and you really reflected on the needs that you have, and instead of criticizing your partner or complaining, really, you say, you know what, I want to pray today about how I could figure out how to get some more individual time. And you could say, well, that's fine, and I'd like to pray about how we could get some more time as a couple and as a family, too. So let's pray about how we could get all those things met. Lord, you know, we have no idea, with the very little time that we've got, how to get the time that we need to be healthy ourselves and how to get the time that we need as a couple and a family. Please help us figure that out. And then you let that prayer time serve as a springboard for greater discussion about making the plan and reaffirming to each other that each of your needs is important. Of course, you know, I want you to be able to get the time that you need to yourself and to reflect and do whatever. And he's able to say, well, and I want to give you the time that we need as a couple and as a family. Let's figure this out. And you're wrestling with it every day, and you're praying about it every day. And you feel like you're really attending to each other, even in those times when it's not possible to make it all happen. You know, you're creating space in your day to pray and talk about how to make these things happen. That's just one example. You know, but if you have that positive time to be able to bring your needs out in a healthy way, then you don't have to wait till you're upset about something to start complaining about how you don't get enough personal time, and, well, we don't get enough family time, and how dare you not listen to me or care about my needs. That's just what happens with most couples when we don't make time to have that proper prayer time and time to positively plan to meet the various needs that we have. So I'm going to suggest that as a starting point. We talk about this more again in both For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, and the book How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Those are both available at CatholicCounselors.com. I'd also encourage you to learn more about Marriage Encounter in your area, because they actually have a wonderful, what they call, dialogue technique that teaches you how to really listen to each other and respond in ways that make you truly feel heard. And I think that you need some more positive communication tools. Marriage Encounter is a great way to get some of those. If you find that you need more personalized guidance and you're looking for some faithful help in overcoming these hurdles, I really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about our pastoral telecounseling practice. But again, those resources, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage. The other book is How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Those are both available at CatholicCounselors.com. Taking advantage of a Marriage Encounter retreat, and the Marriage Encounter website is wwme.org, Worldwide Marriage Encounter. And if you need more personalized support, then work with one of the members of our team at our Pastoral Solutions Institute's Catholic Telecounseling Practice. We can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your relationship. And that goes for you listeners as well. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're dealing with stress and you're looking for some ways to deal more effectively with it, then reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We're here to help you find faith-filled answers to life's difficult questions about marriage, about parenting, about your personal life and spiritual life. Check it out, CatholicCounselors.com, and we'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help transform your marriage, family, or personal life. You can learn more at the website, CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Remember, with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchuk. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.